said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And we thank you for that, Father. And we thank you, you said in Psalms 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And Father, we thank you that you guide us and you direct us. We thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity tonight that we have to hear from you, to hear from your word. And Father, I pray that you help us to receive what you have for us, each one of us tonight. Help me to speak the words that you give me, Father, and to speak spirit and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I want to thank Pastor David. I know he's not here tonight. He's gone to be with his family in, is it
Portland.
I keep wanting to say Seattle. Portland to see his new grandbaby. And I had no idea I was going to get an opportunity to finish this lesson so soon that I started out about three Wednesdays ago. And if I could talk as fast as that guy we've been listening to from Wall Builders, I could definitely get it done. But anyhow, I'm not going to talk that fast. So thank you all for being here tonight. And, so far, I only got two of my 5 points done. I just talked a little much, gave a few stories, but I wanted y'all to kind of get to know me. I know y'all don't necessarily know me so well. And so point one we talked about, and when we're talking about what are your weapons of spiritual warfare, so we covered temptation, pride, and the enemy, and we touched the word and the tongue. And I wanted to give y'all this scripture tonight. You made a comment tonight, you're blessed more than...
Beyond measure.
You're blessed beyond measure. I was saying, a lot of people say blessed more than they could ever deserve. Romans 4, 7, and 8, in the memory scriptures that I was doing, I came across this, got to this yesterday, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man whom the Lord will not impute sin." We truly are blessed. And you hear people say, "How are you doing? I'm blessed." We truly are blessed. Praise God. So as a recap, starting on this second part, when we use the flesh to take on spiritual battles, we're operating on our own. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to operate on my own. I remember Mark Rutland told a story one time about a guy that was going to fight him and beat him up. And he said, "Meet me outside at whatever time." And said he was standing there outside and the guy came up and the guy just kind of wilted away and didn't mess with him and left. And he looked and his big brother was standing behind him, whom, by the way, he'll tell you is in prison. So our Father is always behind us unless we leave that spiritual protection. So we have to be careful not to operate in the flesh, or we can leave that spiritual protection. Okay, so again, we need to invoke the Word of God to overcome the enemy. And as we discussed earlier in pride, that's a big one. In 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, which I want to kind of bring into that, I don't know why I didn't discuss that before, states, "For though we walk in the flesh, we war not after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So we need to be careful that we're always thinking about the Word and how we're going to deal with situations and bring those thoughts to the obedience of Christ. And so I want you to continually think about, as a result of what we're talking about here, how you respond to things. How you respond to things that your wife says to you. Because your wife, in my case, I'm a man, so it's my wife, or you ladies, how your husband, your spouse can push those hot buttons, right? They can push them. And sometimes they do. And so how do we respond to that? Now, I'll discuss this later on because I was quite guilty of a lot of things before I started really studying the Word. Not that I didn't study it before, but I started hearing the Word. Because remember when it says, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So when you speak the Word of God out loud and you hear it, all of a sudden, wait a minute, I never heard that before. And I'm just continually, being blessed with the Word. Romans 4, 14, 15 says, for they which are the law be heirs, faith is void, and the promises made of none effect. And so when people bring the law into the equation, then they can't be heirs if they continue to live in the law. We operate on faith. We don't operate on the law. So a lot of people try to bring the law into the equation, and we're, you know, Christ fulfilled that law. And so I'm not saying somebody brings the law one time, they're not going to make it. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we don't operate. We operate from the Word, which we call the law, but yet we don't operate under the principles of the law that Christ has fulfilled, where we have mercy and grace. And we can't do things in them ourselves. We do it through Christ. So, again, we have to be careful what we speak with this mouth, because if we're not careful, we're going to invoke the law, and then we're going to suffer the consequences of that if we're not careful again. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 47. All right, the script talking about, in order to have repentance and forgiveness, there has to be some kind of sin that we're repenting for. So 1 Corinthians 15, 45, 47 says, the scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person. The last Adam, which is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body. The spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was born from the dust of the earth. Christ, the second man, came from heaven. So the original sin was Adam. Okay, now this is deep, and I don't have time to go into it, but Adam can be considered man. I know Eve was the first one to take the bite of the fruit and all, but Adam and Eve, in this case, were considered as Adam. I don't want to go too deep into that. We can say man, whatever. But basically, man committed that sin, and Christ, of course, is there to take our place. He's a life-giving spirit, and he was the only one worthy to be sacrificed for us. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So again, Christ was the one that was sacrificed for us, and that's where we receive our righteousness from. Righteousness in of ourselves, of course, is as filthy rags. We know that. Okay, so Mark 1:15, and saying the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance is very important here. We have to repent. And this is, I know this is elementary for y'all. I sort of know y'all enough that I feel like this is elementary, but this is very important. And this is a part that a lot of people stray from. They stray from the fact that we have to be repentant. We can't be arrogant. We have to repent, and we have to believe the gospel. Okay, Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jews, also to the Greeks. So again, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We need to profess it. I was reading even somewhere where there were Pharisees that actually believed in Christ, but they wouldn't confess it, which we have to do, because they didn't want to give up their position in the temple with the Pharisees. What a shame. But that's what happens, of course. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I would encourage you as believers to learn these scriptures for the purpose of witnessing to others. Because I'll be honest with you, until I went on this track to start learning the memory scriptures, I didn't know these scriptures. And so when I was trying to lead somebody to Christ, I was stumbling through my own words. And again, why reinvent the wheel? God has given us His Word, and He has given us these scriptures that we can quote and lead somebody to Christ. And I can tell you, it's very effective. We've used them in the prison ministry. I know you've got the means that, the words that you use, the word that you use to lead others to Christ in the jail ministry, and it's effective. I mean, it's powerful. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Okay, so these are very encouraging scriptures. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves that this is what we operate from, so that we don't start operating on our own and using words of our own and forgetting the power God gives us and what He's shown us in His Word. And again, many people in the church today make it this far. They find out about salvation. They find out about repentance. And a lot of people come to Christ, but they can fall victims of busyness. I mean, everything's just so busy. They find something to do, whether it be in the church, they've got family issues and things that go on, things that have to be taken care of. Life happens. And they continue to get busier and busier and may forget the foundation of where we came from. And so, and it could be job, it could be habits. And so, I don't know about y'all, but the hardest people for me to witness to are people from church that have gotten away from church, gotten away from the way of life. I know all that stuff. I went to Sunday school when I was a kid. I know all that stuff. I got a friend of mine. It cracks me up. He was raised in church, Pentecostal church, okay? But he got away from it at an early age, and he ain't been back since. He says, I know all that stuff. I know it better than you do. I said, really? I said, I don't think so. And I challenged him on it. And he started laughing. He backed down because he knows. His comment to me is, you believe it. You believe it. And I know it because I speak to him about it all the time. He knows it. And he tries to get me to do certain things that he does and all, you know. And anyway, and he gets a lot of quote-unquote church people to do it, but he don't get me to do it. But he is a good friend of mine. Okay, but he's a client. All right, so I almost forgot to tell y'all about the great miracle that happened just a little while ago. So I walk into church, and I pick up my paperwork, and I go, all right, I'm going to kind of look at it one more time. It's not the right paperwork. And I knew better than to make that mistake. I've made that mistake before. I made sure I had the paperwork with me. Well, I was on the phone doing business before I walked into church. And what I do so many times, I left my keys laying on the console. I locked my truck, and I came in here. And I walked back out there, I could see my kids as pretty as you please, and I could see my lesson as pretty as you please. And my doors are locked. And so, fortunately, this ain't my first rodeo. And fortunately, with this newer vehicle I have, I've already been through the process of trying to find a place to hide a key, and it didn't work. My key was gone, which Michael and I can say are very expensive. And so I found a new hiding place, but I kind of hadn't had to use it, so I couldn't remember exactly where it was. I'm feeling around everywhere, and I'm getting grease all over me. So I said, God, I believe in you. I have faith in you, and I know I'm going to find this key, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to open that door. And I truly believed it. And sure enough, I kept feeling around. I felt it. Then I couldn't get it out. But finally, I got it. I had to get a little bit dirty. And I didn't get a whole lot of sympathy or empathy at first from these guys when I came in. But then it got better. And, you know, if you think about that, isn't that the way life is? You know, God expects us to have faith. And if we'll believe in Him and we'll use Him, see what's in your heart. And how our weapons that we use for spiritual warfare are what's in our heart. And if you truly have God's word in your heart, He knows that. And if we have faith in Him and we call on Him, He will answer. But so many people will say, I believe in God, but what do their actions say? And so we have to truly believe. But anyway. Thank God. All right. Now, I want to talk about forgiveness. I think forgiveness is probably one of the hardest things for people to do. And I'm guilty of that as well. I had to learn a lot about forgiveness. And the hardest person to forgive is yourself. And the reason I'm bringing forgiveness into this kind of material is because if you can't forgive your brother or sister, if you don't have forgiveness in your heart, your weapons of spiritual warfare are not going to be effective. They're going to be flesh. Because forgiveness is so important. And people get hurt in church business. Okay, I've seen it over and over again. I was very involved at a young age in a church that split. And I watched everybody come together. Yeah, we're okay. Everything's great. That's the last time they were all together. And a lot of phone calls being made at night and a lot of hurt feelings and a lot of people that probably never came back to church ever again. And this is a shame, but this is life. There's people that get hurt. Oh, they don't like me over there. They don't like me anymore. Or, you know, there's family problems, a lot of unforgiveness and family problems. And, you know, it's easy to forgive somebody that didn't hurt you. But can you forgive somebody where they really hurt you and it cost you something? Because this is the meat of the word. This is where it really gets good. This is where we really learn to love, which is going to be the last point. But anyway, forgiveness. You know, what are you speaking with your mouth? What are you saying? Did you really forgive the person, or did you forgive them for just a moment and you continue to bring it up and bring it up and bring it up? Are your actions forgiving? So we have to think about the foundation of it. Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." So if God will forgive somebody and forget it, who are we? So think about that. Mark 11:25-26. After he says, "Move in the mountain with faith," he says, "And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, so that your heavenly Father may forgive you your trespasses. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." So what do you want to bring on yourself? What kind of spiritual warfare are you doing? You know, so many times I have to catch myself. Wait a minute. What am I saying? What am I thinking? What am I doing? It starts right here. Actually, right here. All this is connected. But we have to be careful what we spend our time doing. Even in a conversation today with a friend of mine. He knows about a situation where I just wasn't too happy with all of it. I says, you know what? I don't even want to talk about it. Because if I talk about it, I'll start saying things that I'll regret, or I'll start dwelling on things that I know are not the way they need to be, according to God's word. But who am I, right? So the best thing I can do is just stay away from it. Luke 17:3-4 says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." That's hard, y'all. That's hard. But this is the word. 1 Peter 3:8-9 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another." "Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing you were thereunto called to inherit a blessing." So what do you want to inherit? So if we want to inherit that blessing, we've got to start. I say we've got. Listen, y'all, the worst thing I could ever do is accuse anybody of doing anything. So I'm talking about myself in one respect, but I love the way Pastor David phrases it. Maybe you, or you could have. So if I ever say anything that's accusatory, please don't take it that way. Because I've been sitting in the congregation before where the pastor's saying, "You don't do this and you don't do that." I'm sitting there saying, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do." When he's saying about, "You don't read your word," or "You don't, you know, pray," or "What?" Yes, I do. And so please forgive me if I ever used the wrong words there. But it's always good for us to be thinking, you know, this is strong language, not rendering evil for evil, because that's always the natural thing to do in the flesh. You know, I love the scripture where he says, let's see if I can remember it. "And again, you have heard an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto thee, ye resist not evil, for whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him also the other." Now that is powerful. That's in Matthew 5. So that's strong. But that's the mindset that we have to do if we're going to do spiritual warfare. You know, I don't know if y'all have ever heard people talk about casting out demons. "Oh, you better be fasting, you better be praying, and you better be ready." Well, let me tell you something. You better be ready for all spiritual warfare, because it's coming. Because Satan is a liar, and he will come at you at your weakest moment, which I know we spoke about. After Jesus fasted 40 days in the desert, that's when that liar came. Accuser of the brethren. All right. Number 4, fruit of the Spirit. Excuse me, just a second. Galatians 5:16-26. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Okay, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These things are the contrary one to the other, so that you could not do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, and seditions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Against such, I've told you before, as I've told you in time past, those who do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So we can't be doing those things. Of course, most of you, I don't think, would purposely do that. But if we're not careful, we can get in that place where we become guilty of some of these things. Okay, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, being desirous not of vaingloriance, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay. I was tremendously guilty of not exercising just a slight bit under 50% of the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God, I got in under the wire. Out of, let's see, how many we got here? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So out of 9 fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned here, I was guilty of not exercising 4 of those. And who was I guilty against? Come on, y'all. Well, okay, and I know I said that about forgiveness, but no. Who was I guilty against in not exercising the fruit of the Spirit? No, my wife. I was guilty. I did not have long suffering. I did not have gentleness. I did not have meekness, nor did I have temperance. I said my wife started it and I finished it. And mine was the greater sin. Whew. Yep, I was guilty of that. And when I went to memorize this, do you know how I memorized some of the fruits of the Spirit the best? Because I was guilty. That helped me remember them. That's terrible, y'all. But it's the truth. It is the truth. I mean, and we're talking, this was only, I don't know, 3 years ago I started doing the memory scriptures that all this started coming together. So I've been a believer for 40 years, 40 years, and I'm still in progress. In progress. I work in progress. Okay, so my weapons of warfare are going to be the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. All right, let's see. Okay. So you've heard people say, I don't believe in God, and how can a loving God allow bad things to happen? Oh, I hate it when I hear that. So I think we touched on this some the first lesson I did, but honestly, I can't remember everything I said on that. So we know, actually I'm going to point 5, love, sorry. I didn't see the headline there. All right, so we're going into love. So God is love. And I know we discussed some of this, but the case in point is if you love your children, you take care of them, you nurture them, you teach them, especially in the ways of God. Then when they become of an age, way a child should go, when he becomes old, he shall not depart from it. Okay, Proverbs 22, I think. Anyway. Okay, so then when they become of age, they won't depart. That's love. Otherwise, they're just servants and won't grow in love. Or you could even say slaves, depending on how you say that. Well, it's the same in our relationship with God. So, kind of a way that I've had one of my mentors describes this. I like it. He says, if a man sees a woman and he wants her to become his wife, if he just says, hey, you come here, you're going to be my wife, is that love? Ain't going to work either, is it? He's going to pay for that. That's not love. That's slavery, bondage, whatever you want to call it. That's not love. But if he says, all right, I want her to marry me, and he courts her, and he treats her really well, and he's nice to her, and he develops a relationship with her, that's love. So God created us, and God is love. And so Adam and Eve, they had to be allowed to make a choice. They had to make a decision. And he only gave them one thing not to do, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. they made the wrong decision. He still loved them. He loves every sinner. And by the way, that's something that we really need to focus on. You know, when people do things that disgust us, God loves them. He still loves them. That's not a child of God. I hear people say they're children. God, some of them are the children of the devil, no doubt. But God does love them. Not a child of God. God does love them. Okay. So, it's, again, our relationship with God, you know, we have to just continually work on that and to show Him that we love Him because we know He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. Okay, so, which is 1 John 4:9-11 says, "In this was manifested the love of God, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whose..." I'm trying to do John 3:16. "Gave His only begotten Son. It sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved Him, but He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Okay. I recommend anybody read 1 John, the whole chapter of 4, and the beginning of chapter 5. It's unbelievable. Okay, so this helps us to try to help our fellow man more. 1 John 4:20-21. "If a man say, 'I love God,' but hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that hateth his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" Now, also in this commandment, have we from Him, that he that loveth God love his brother also. So, we're at the jail ministry one night, and I always had pod to be or not to be. I keep thinking about that. I want to go back in the jail ministry so bad, and so we're there. It's just me in the room with the inmates, and I quoted this scripture. And I saw one of the inmates just start moving around like this. You know, he was just going nuts. I was going, "Wow, this is awesome. What's going on here?" I could tell God was working on him. So I just sat there and watched. And he kept moving around. He says, I got to say something. I just got to say something. He says, "I just feel like if I don't do this, I'm just going to die." And so he says, "I'll be back in just a minute." So he walks out of the door and he goes and gets another inmate and comes back in. And that inmate sat there and he sat back down where he's sitting here and says, "I got to tell you something. I feel like I'm going to die tonight and I'm going to go to hell if I don't tell you this. I'm sorry. Forgive me for what I said to you." It was incredible. But it struck his heart because he realized that he was being mean to his roommate in the jail. And he was treating him bad. And so this spoke to him. It cut him to the quick. And that's what God's Word will do. So, let's go a little deeper here. 1 John chapter 5. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whosoever loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him." Okay? "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments." Okay. This is like a loaded baked potato, y'all. There's a lot in this. So think about it. He's commanding us here to love the children of God. Now, if you want to separate out the children of God, as I said, which were the children of God and which were not, you can do that if you want to. But honestly, I'm not a judge. I'm not the judge. And I don't want to judge my fellow man that one gets to go to heaven, that one doesn't, so I'm going to treat him bad because this says the children of God, and I don't think he's a child of God, so I'm not going to treat him good. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to make it blanket. I'm going to treat everybody much better than what I've ever thought I had to do. So this is spiritual warfare. Us being kind, you never know what's going to happen, especially when you speak the word of God. And when you're kind to people, I've heard stories over and over and over again where somebody was kind to somebody that was bad. Fred was talking about just the other night. Remember Fred was talking about guy pulled a gun on him and he took him some food from the food bank or whatever, and now they're talking. Good idea, Royal, right? Was it Royal that said take food from the food bank? But anyway, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So, we can't just keep these commandments and grumble and complain and not like it and all that. We got to live this. We got to get it in our heart and live it. Okay, Matthew 5, 38 through 48. Oh, I already quoted that. That was the turning the cheek the other way. Okay. And I'll go a little further with that. I'm going to read it. If I try to quote it, it might mess it up a little bit. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and of him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. You've heard it hath been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that persecute you and despitefully use you and persecute you. Got them reversed. Okay. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute the brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, we have to turn that other cheek. When people do us wrong, I was in a nearly 4-year lawsuit as a result of homes that my client sold. We told them the truth, told them everything about it. They just decided they were going to store it money. I know I'm saying it from my perspective, but in the end, the jurors were having discussions about these homes. They said weren't worth anything. We'd like to have these homes. That's what the jury was talking about. But I can truly say I did my best not to have any anger towards the people that sued us and disrupted our lives for 4 years. If they stuck out their hand and shake their hand, I shook their hand. That's the way we have to be. I'm not patting myself on the back. Trust me, I keep working at this. You know, you get one thing done, you advance to the next level. It's like an eternal test. Okay. And again, we have to constantly challenge ourselves to do the right thing. And those that, like what Fred, you know, those that hate you, you know, pray for them. Okay, so in review, we've talked about temptation, pride, and the enemy, the word and the tongue, repentance and forgiveness, fruit of the Spirit, and love. So, 1 Peter 4 and 8 says, most important of all, continue to love each other with deep love, for love covers a multitude of sins. So we have to continue to operate out of love. These need to be our weapons of spiritual warfare. Okay. And again, as an exercise, for the next week or two, try to think about this. Try to think about how you speak, how you respond. Are you speaking words of blessings or curses, even on yourself? That I talked about unforgiveness for myself, I had a situation for 20 years. I couldn't forgive myself for something that happened. And finally, I realized, I got to forgive myself. I can't change it. It's a mistake I made in business. I can't do anything about it. It happened. And I wish it hadn't happened. I wish I could go back and redo it, but I can't. And so we just have to move ahead, as Apostle Paul told us. All right. Lamentations 3:22 through 26. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who depend on Him, to those who search for Him. Here's the part that really cut me a few weeks ago. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. Okay, so is that talking about salvation as we know it? Or is it talking about salvation where we have a problem, we need to be delivered from this problem, and we want to take care of it? I have a problem that I'm dealing with, and I want to take care of it. But when I was about to, I read this, I went, okay, God, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to have faith, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to keep believing. But I got to speak with this mouth positive things. Good. I'm glad I'm hearing that. You have to speak positive. You have to speak the word. Don't speak negative. Don't grumble. Don't complain. We have to wait on salvation from the Lord. And of course, I'm going to end with Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are higher than anything you could imagine. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts. I mean, my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens. They stay on the ground and water the earth, causing the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and food for the hungry. It is the same with my word. It always produces fruit. It accomplishes all I want it to, and it prospers everywhere I send it. Okay, so if you're speaking the word, it says right here, it will prosper everywhere I send it. I'll say that a little different, sorry. We talked about that. It will prosper everywhere I send it. So you don't have to worry about when I spoke the word with that person, you don't have to worry about whether or not it produces fruit. Because guess what? It's going to produce fruit. Because that's what God's word says. But if you tell them something of your own words, is it going to produce fruit? It might, I don't know, but it's not guaranteed, that's for sure. Because if you speak things pertaining to the word, then of course there could be some fruit that's going to come out of that. But if you speak the word, there's no doubt about it. You don't even have to think about it. You don't have to question it. So every time we speak the word, it's producing fruit. So speak the word. I want to encourage you. Speak the word. Memorize it. Pray the word. When I had so much trouble when I heard people say, well, you need to pray for an hour. You know, and I'm a very distracted person. I got three things going on in my mind, the same thing. Time a lot of times. And it's hard for me to stay focused. And then I start getting sleepy if I sit still. But ever since I started doing the memory scriptures, it is no challenge whatsoever to pray for a very long time. time. As Jesus said, the spirit is willing indeed, but the flesh is weak. So when we pray, as he encouraged us to pray, what could you not pray with me 1 hour? You know, Jesus said that. And so, you know, I love praying, and I'll be honest with y'all, most of what I pray is the word. I don't, you know, I pray a little bit of my own words, but not a lot. I'm not trying to come against anybody that does. I've heard some powerful prayers where people are just speaking, and it's based on what they know about the word, and that's powerful, but I just pray the word. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel here. I'm just going to pray the word, and I ain't got to worry about it. It's producing fruit. So, I love y'all.